Hi guys, I'm Prakshal and you are listening to Now Podcast, and in this episode we have Saloni Srivastav with us. Saloni is a well-known YouTuber and a TEDx speaker. Her YouTube channel has over 25 million views and Saloni has launched multiple businesses, and recently she has come up with a brand new course called Hustle Post Academy. In this course, she provides the exact blueprint of how to escape your 9-to-5 and start your own business. She's also a mentor to multiple aspiring YouTubers and content creators all around the planet. We have discussed about her channel, her way of learning, minimalism, and a lot of other amazing stuff. I hope you guys will enjoy this episode. Saloni, thank you for being on the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
All right, I want to start with, how did you escape your 9-to-5? Like, let's directly jump into it.
Right. I think this is a very important question that I get asked a lot. So for me, personally, like I've always maintained, I did not hate my 9-to-5. I've actually loved my job. I think I really enjoyed the kind of work that I was doing because I was in marketing, growth hacking, and that was my calling as well. So for me, my 9-to-5 was super fun and I used to enjoy working on it, but I just felt like it wasn't enough. Like I wanted to do something more with my life. I just thought, okay, I'll start something on the side as a passion project, which will just be like an escape for me, like a place where I could just let my creative juices flow. So that was my angle. That's where I started. So I started my YouTube channel alongside my 9-to-5 job, and I continued working on it. I continued to work on it. I continued to, like, you know, get all of the information and everything that I really wanted to get for YouTubing. And I used to apply everything there. I used to apply my marketing knowledge also on YouTubing. And over time, I realized that my YouTube channel started growing. Like, it did well. It wasn't doing amazingly well. Like, I used to get like 800 views on a video, and that itself for me was super exciting. I was like, it's going somewhere. Like, if 800 people are willing to watch it, maybe 8,000 will be willing to watch it, and then 80,000 will be willing to watch it. So I saw that as a positive sign. And then I, about 8 months into YouTubing, I took the leap of faith. I was like, I think now is the right time for me to quit and give a lot of my attention, like 100% of my attention, to my YouTube channel. And the day I hit 10,000 subscribers was like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, put down my papers. And I put down my papers and I was like, okay, now I'm free in the world. And then I went and I have been a content creator since then, and there has been no looking back, honestly. Like I was just telling you, I think this world gives you a very different kind of freedom, and this whole world is it's so enticing that I don't think I can ever leave the space that I'm in right now.
And like, you talk majorly about productivity, finance, lifestyle, food. So is there like a specific reason you like pick this topic? Maybe because that you want good content on this, like you cannot find good content on this, or is this something that you wanted to talk about? So how did you finalize this like major topics for your channel and your content?
Right. So for me, I actually have background in economics. So my initial idea was to start a channel for women on finance. That's it. That's all I wanted to do. That was my first idea. Mm-hmm. So I was like, because there are a lot of finance channels that exist, but none of them speak to women specifically. And in India, generally, what we've seen is that most of the money decisions or any of the money matters are taken care of by the male members of the family. That's just how traditionally our families are. And I was like, I need to change that, because women work equally hard or harder in most cases to earn the same amount of money. So we obviously should be able to manage our own money ourselves. Like, we need not rely on our fathers or brothers or husbands to take care of our money. So because I was anyway excited about the idea of finance and I was generally into it, I thought it's a good idea for me to start making videos on this. And then I went and I did a little bit of research to figure out if this was an exciting enough idea. So I started seeing if there was enough search for it, if people were searching for something like this or not. And then I found that nobody was searching for it. It was just like a thing that it was in my head. I thought it was a really cool idea, but nobody was searching for it. So I was like, okay, this makes no sense. There's no reason why I should start when people are not searching for something like this. So then I thought, okay, so who do I want to speak to? I was like, okay, I want to speak to women. What are women looking for already? Women at that point of time were looking for lifestyle videos. They were looking for a lot of, you know, personal growth, those kind of videos. So I was like, ठीक है, इफ़ आई वॉन्ट टू स्पीक टू वुमेन आई विल फर्स्ट गिव देम वॉट दे वॉन्ट, गेट देम ऑन टू माई प्लेटफॉर्म एंड देन स्लोली स्टार्ट स्पीकिंग अबाउट थिंग्स दैट आई वॉन्ट टू स्पीक अबाउट. दैट वे एटलीस्ट यू नो आई नो फॉर अ फैक्ट दैट इफ आई क्रिएट कॉन्टेंट दे विल वॉच इट इफ दे बिल्ड अ रिलेशनशिप विद मी. सो देन आई स्टार्टेड क्रिएटिंग कॉन्टेंट ऑन लाइफ स्टाइल विच वॉज अ वेरी कॉमन थिंग दैट मोस्ट वुमेन वर एक्साइटेड अबाउट. सो आई स्टार्टेड क्रिएटिंग कॉन्टेंट ऑन लाइफ स्टाइल. सो आई डिड एंड आई वॉज अ फूडी टू, सो आई वॉज लाइक ठीक है फूड ऑल्सो मेक सेंस. सो आई स्टार्टेड कॉन्टेंट ऑन फूड ऑल्सो. सो आई जस्ट स्टार्टेड ऑफ विद गिविंग पीपल एक्जैक्टली वॉट they were looking for. And then over time, like on the first women's day that I had as a content creator, I went ahead and I made a video on why women should be financially independent and four things women should do to become financially independent. And even if that video got lesser views, that video got me such positive comments from the community. Everyone was so happy watching that video. And I was like, this is it. I think even if people are not searching for it, if I start making it, I'm sure people will like it. So that was how I reeled it in that, okay, I'll speak to. So what I did was I did not finalize my niche. I finalized my target audience. I was like, okay, I want to speak to women. And then I figured out, okay, what is it that women care about? And I figured those things out. And then I started creating content around that. So my process was not super obvious, but I think it's been a good process because I genuinely get to, you know, because my audience is very targeted. Even today, like I have 90% women who follow me and the content has just, you know, evolved. Every time I saw an opportunity, I was like, it makes sense. Let me try doing that. And that's how I figured out, okay, productivity, motivation. There weren't a lot of people in India who were doing that. And I used to really enjoy watching that kind of content. And I was like, theek hai, if nobody's doing it, let me do it. So I started doing it. And it clicked. Like people really enjoy watching the motivational lifestyle kind of content that I do.
And what is your you have evolved so much along like when you started out. So what is your process of now like creating a piece of content or a YouTube video? So how do you approach from an idea to the execution?
Right. So for me, I think I start off with first figuring out what the content is going to be about. So I have this strategy that I've created, which is something that I also teach in the academy that I've just launched, right? The Hustle Post Academy. So there's this strategy that I follow, which helps me break down content into three pieces. So basically these are like, you know, high value pieces, low value pieces. And so these are, there's this full strategy that I have in mind. So I first figure out which video do I need to create what. If it's, let's say, an event specific video, or do I want to create a popular topic kind of video, or I want to create a video on something that's completely unique. So I figure that out first. That's to understand which category the video will come into. Once I finalize the category, for example, I figure out that I want to do a video on something that's already like a popular topic, if that's the category that I want to go for. So I start with that, and then I deep dive. I do hardcore research in figuring out what the topic needs to be. So to be very honest, I have a 60-40 rule where 60% of my time is actually research and only 40% is content creation. So in terms of research, I make sure, you know, I watch a lot of content that already exists. I try to figure out what is missing. I try to see how can I Indianize it? Because a lot of what I create is also not available in the Indian context. So I watch a lot of content from other countries. And from there, I figure out, okay, how can I Indianize this? How can this be applicable from an Indian perspective? And, you know, things like that. That is one part of research. I also am a big data nerd. So I spend a lot of time on Google Trends. I also spend a lot of time on just YouTube itself, just to, you know, really get the analytics out. So once I have all the analytics juice, I figure out, okay, this is a good topic. This is what I want to go ahead with. And then I move on to the scripting process, which usually doesn't take a very long time for me because I don't end up scripting my videos end to end. I try to keep it a little like, you know, in the moment, like where I prep talk things in the flow. If I script properly, my delivery becomes robotic. So I don't like that. So I don't script so much, but at least I create like a list of pointers that I want to talk about. So that's the next step. After that comes shooting and editing. Shooting takes me like a day entirely to make one video. I know a lot of people who shoot like 4 videos, 5 videos a day, but I've just never been able to do that. I'm just, you know, maybe I'm lazy or whatever I am. I cannot do more than one a day. So it takes me one full day to shoot one video, and then the next day is spent editing that video. So 2 days of shooting and editing, and 2 days before that on research and scripting. So 4 days in total for one video is my process.
Oh God, that sounds so overwhelming. And so there's something that you and me are on the same page about, this topic called minimalism.
Correct. Absolutely.
And To be very honest, this lifestyle, this school of thought has changed my life. How do I approach things? How do I approach my life? How do I approach everything about my life?
Right.
So I want to talk about what was your first introduction to this concept,
right,
and why you decided to make it a part of your life.
Absolutely. I think this is a very interesting thing, and I feel like nobody's ever really spoken to me about this. I've never really discussed my process of minimalism on any of my interviews or anything anywhere. So thank you for asking me this question. I think with minimalism, I think my first introduction to it, honestly, I'm not even kidding, was my father. My father was a minimalist even before that term was a thing, or even before this lifestyle movement existed. He was a minimalist through and through. So, in my house, when I was growing up, we had this rule that if you're buying one, you're supposed to get rid of two, and, things like that. Mm. So these were things that were followed very specifically in my house. And also, I remember whenever I used to give my father something, I was like, Papa, main aapko ghadi dene wali hun is baar. He would go ahead and get rid of every other ghadi he has. So he's like, if I'm getting a new one, I will not have anything else with me. So he would give it away to somebody, or, he would try to figure out some use for everything else. He was like, I need to have just one, because there's no reason why I need to have multiple of things that I do that are not necessarily needed in multiple numbers. So I grew up with that idea. That was my introduction to it. But of course, ghar walon ki baat nahi sunte koi bhi. So Papa teach me everything, and I was like, "Haan, theek hai, you're weird. Why are you doing this?" So I was always weird about that. But then it was still, because I grew up with it, it was a little bit ingrained in my thought process. But over time, as I grew up, I think my first introduction to that happened when I read the book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. So this is a book by Marie Kondo. And Marie Kondo has become very popular now because of Netflix. But I think I read this book way before it was a thing on Netflix and everything. So so I read that book, and this happened because my house used to always be messy. No matter how much I tried to clean up, my office hours were also super hectic. Even in college, my work hours and everything was super hectic. So it's like, why am I not ever able to keep my room clean? Why is my room always messy? So I found this book, Art of Tidying Up. I thought it was about cleaning the house, how to keep your home. So I was like, I'll read it. And then I picked that book up, I read it end to end, and that book changed my life, my perspective about life. Because she, she started speaking about things you should only own things if they really bring joy to you. If you really find that this thing adds something to your life. And another thing that she also spoke about was, only buy things that you can have a home for. Don't buy things. When I buy something today, I visually imagine, where is this going to go in my house? And if I can't imagine a place for it, I don't buy it. So these were some things that I learned from that book. And I think that was my second introduction to it. And then I was like, this is exciting. I'm sure there's somebody else also who's talking about this. And then I went on to YouTube. And my God, there were these lists of videos that came up, which I had absolutely no idea about that they existed. And then, of course, I went on that whole YouTube binging viral, that spiral I went on, and I kept watching content. And I figured out all these content creators who were living a minimalistic lifestyle. And I was like, man, this is amazing. Look at how happy they all look with me. So from there, that's how I started. And I think this is one thing that has changed my life, because honestly, I could not have quit my job. When you work in a corporate setting, you get so used to a particular kind of salary coming to you every month. So in my case, because I had also spent 5 years, the kind of money I was making was big enough, because of course there was I had spent 5 years in the industry. So with experience, of course, the salary grows and everything. So there was this income that was coming to me every month. And when I had to quit for doing YouTube full time, I was making nothing from YouTube. I was literally making 0 rupees from YouTube. But I was still able to take that decision, because I was like, anyway, I was not using my salary, because whatever I wanted to buy, I had. I had most.
Exactly.
Minimalism really allowed me to, actually allowed me the space to follow my passion, because I was not so attached to that money that was coming in because I wanted to buy things I didn't need. So honestly, this is one thing that has really made the biggest difference in my life. Today, whatever I am, I owe it to that one decision of quitting my job. And that only happened because I discovered minimalism.
It's so amazing to hear that. And for me, if I have to encapsulate whole minimalism, for me, it's liberating. It's
absolutely,
I cannot so tell.
Liberating.
It's so freeing. People talk about money is important, But when you realize that you have, even if you create like a runway for you, then you are free to do. Like you just need to meet your basic needs, right?
Absolutely. For me, money is super important and I still chase money. I start multiple businesses. I do all of that. Being a business person, I can't be like, money doesn't matter to me. Of course it matters.
No, money matters. Yeah.
Like I don't use that money to buy the 100th lipstick for me, which are same shades. I don't use that for that. I would rather, like, you know, I now use my money for, like, I'm an online course shopaholic in a way where, you know, I love
same too.
Yeah, so I love investing in online courses. I love investing in personal growth. I love investing in traveling, anything that just really makes my life more meaningful for me personally. Like I would rather not have a fancy like a Louis Vuitton perfume, but I would rather have like, I would rather use that money to like take a trip to Nepal, you know, like that's my thing.
Yes, it's awesome. I mean, it's like life changing, like to be like, this is all right. And I want to, like, as you talked about, you started your YouTube channel along your full-time job. And along the way, you have quitted your full-time job. Then you grow your YouTube channel. Then you grow multiple businesses. You recently launched a course. And there are a lot of stuff that you are doing. So, first of all, how do you manage all these things? And what is your process of learning something new? Like you're about to jump into podcasting. So, how do you approach it?
Right. So how do I manage to do so many things? Honestly, if I want to be very, very honest about it, I don't... You know, I don't pretend to be super arrogant about the fact that I can do everything, because I can't. Nobody can do 20 things, 30 things. We all have only 24 hours in a day. And there's no way we can do... There's only so much we can do in a day, right? So from day one, I believed in the idea of delegation. I was like, I am going to delegate things that I'm not good at. And again, because I'm a minimalist, I don't care. I don't need a lot of money to live a happy life. So if my business is making, let's say 1 lakh rupees a month, I'm more than happy to give away some part of that as salaries to others. Because I was like, at least, you know, that way the quality always goes up, because somebody else with expertise in that particular subject matter is going to help me out with building my process. And also at the same time, I am very, I feel relaxed because I have a lot of mind space and I have a lot of time to focus on doing new things. Like I can keep experimenting because I'm not constantly caught up with doing small things here and there all the time. So I think delegation is how I do it. When I could not afford anybody, my husband was the first employee I had. I was like, can you please be my videographer? And then he used to take care of my videography. Then I could not afford anybody. And the only salary that I used to pay him was one cup of coffee every day. That's it, in the morning. So that was the salary that I started with. And then as I quit my job, I got the first employee. Even when I was making 0 rupees from YouTube, I made sure that I got an intern on board. And I, even though, you know, I could not pay her huge sums of money, she was a beginner. She was also learning. So I got her on board at whatever I could afford and whatever was feasible for her. And then she was also excited about learning. So together we learned, we grew. And because she came on my channel, her name is Shweta. She came onto my channel and my channel just shot up because she was so good with camera. She was just so good with it that, you know, in the process of learning itself, she really shot up the quality of my content. So that helped. And then, of course, today, like I said, I have a team of 7 people. So it really helps me with ensuring that, you know, I have specialized people doing special things for me so that I have more time to focus on new business ventures. I have more time to focus on new ideas. And of course, it is a challenge managing a team and, you know, making sure that everyone's motivated and everyone's inspired to do work and you know, quality. I have to constantly keep a check on quality and I have to do all of that. But I think that's a lesser of a headache than actually just doing everything yourself. So I think that's how I do a lot of things. The other question that you asked was, what's my process of learning anything new? So yes. I think how I start is, you know, I'm generally a very curious person. So, and there's also, it may sound super arrogant, but I think there's this one skill. If somebody asks me, what is it that you're good at? My answer to that is always, I can teach myself anything. You give me a week, I will teach myself that. Like, I'm really like Jugadu that way, in the sense I can figure out from Google and I, like, I've cracked the art of Googling. So I know where to go, how to find, like I've learned e-commerce from scratch. I've learned online course management from scratch. I've learned web development from scratch. I've learned coding. I've done all of that without having any background in anything. So yeah, I think I've just cracked the art of Googling, and I don't shy away from investing in online courses. When I learn from an expert, again, my learning curve is shorter. You know, I would take 20 days to learn something. I might as well pay somebody to teach that to me in 2 hours. So that's my process. That's how I learn. I invest in courses. I Google. I don't go to somebody unless I have figured the basics out. You know, what I've realized is a lot of times people will come and ask you questions. And you, a lot of times, the person who they're asking the question to is not willing to help, because these questions are very easily found on Google. So when
exactly.
I'm in poverty, I make sure that Google se jitna information mil sakta tha, I have all of that. Now
you have some base. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So now you tell me what I do. So then the person in front of me is also super excited to help me out, because they're like, oh, at least this person has come with research. Like, this person knows what she's talking about. And then they're also super excited about it. So yeah, that's my process.
Awesome. And so what are some of the courses that change your life?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. So I think I really like this one course that I did recently, which was on launching your, not really your business, but it was more about launching yourself as a brand, which I thought was a very exciting concept, because when I started my YouTube channel, obviously nobody is a brand unless you really, you know, we're not Sara Ali Khans of the world. So we don't really get to, you know, as much as I love Sara, like, she's amazing. So I think what we end up doing is, you know, we have to train ourselves with all of these things. Like, we have to learn how to do that.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah, that one course was super helpful in just, like, you know, organizing my thoughts that way. I think I also recently did a course on absolute basics of finance, which it was not really needed for me. But because I teach people at absolute basic level, I thought it's to listen to others also explain things from a basic level so that I get better at explaining. This course was by Every Girl, Every Girl's finance course. I think that was also very interesting and exciting. So yeah, and my husband recently gifted me 100 online courses. So I have, like, I'm set for like a year.
Oh god.
Yeah.
And what was the first course, like, who was the teacher of the first course about launching yourself as a personal brand?
So Avi Arya, he's also an Indian guy.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. All right, I want to talk about YouTube world, and as you said, like, this world, creative world, has another kind of high, but it also comes with a lot of lows, and like every job, every kind of everything you do comes with a lot of overwhelming days, and things are not working, especially when you're teaching yourself everything. It's not easy, and it's not cool as it sounds right now.
Right.
So how do you deal with those overwhelming, unfocused, when you feel like, no man, I'm not able to do it, or I don't know how to do it, or I don't know the next step? So how do you come out of that rut?
Right. I think that is very common, especially in creative businesses, right? Like, you are a creative person, you have your own podcast. I am a creative person that way. So for us, like, we need to really have our energy straight, because otherwise it's almost impossible for us to create something without being super inspired. And we can always go ahead and create something, but it will not be our best work, and people will know. People know when you're not giving in your 100%. So for me, I think the most important thing I follow is the important rule that I follow. A, minimalism helps. Honestly, in this space also, minimalism helps so much, because I am a minimalist even when it comes to following people, that, you know, I will follow them only if they really add value in my life. So that's important. Another process that I follow is, you know, that I generously take breaks. I take breaks all the time. If I feel like this is it, this is done, ab nahi ho raha mujhse, I stop my work then and there, and I'm like, 24 hours, I'm not going to focus on anything. I'm just going to sit and chill, watch something inspiring, watch something exciting, consume content, and not feel guilty about doing this, because, you know, guiltless breaks can do wonders. And then when I come back, I am fully recharged. I feel happy that, and a lot of times people do take breaks, but they take break at a point where, you know, taking a break becomes a necessity. Like, they would break down if they don't take a break. So I don't go to that point. I take a break a lot before that, because personally I've dealt with the burnout situation in 2019. Like I was telling you, 2019 was not the best year for me. Like, personally, a lot of things happened, and just generally I was not in my best energy in 2019. So for me, like, that year, even if I used to take breaks, right, I used to constantly feel guilty ki, aray, I should not have taken.
Yes, but that breaks don't regenerate you. Like, yeah, it's not helpful. They are not helpful.
Those are completely pointless breaks, because they do nothing for you. So then I realized, A, I'm also not working. B, I'm not even getting back on track, and I'm losing time. There's no point of doing that. That whole process is pointless. So then I really got into this habit of, you know, not feeling guilty about taking breaks, especially when you work for yourself. It gets even more difficult to draw that line. Where is work? Where is life? What
exactly?
So everything becomes really difficult. difficult. So for me now, because the biggest hack that has worked for me, honestly, and I would share this with anybody who works for themselves, is to work on a PC, like a computer, not a laptop. Like work on a, you know, like a desktop computer. And I have bought myself an iMac and I work on that because I can't take it to my bedroom. It is in my office. I have to shut down and only then go to my bedroom. So there's no possibility of carrying any work to my bedroom. So that has changed my life. Like now I don't go to my bedroom. If I have to go to my bedroom and if I have to work on something, I would be in the office. And that way I have to be in office. And as long as I'm in office, I know that this is work time. And as long as I shut down from here and go back to my bedroom, as soon as the big computer is off, I am back to my room. And I know that, you know, this is break time now. So it has created this work-life balance for me so well.
I mean, like I read somewhere like really drawing the line between your workstation and your relaxing station, right?
So important. I've tried everything, but this laptop, no laptop room is the only thing that has worked for me.
I mean, and sometimes, like, as you said, like what happened with me, even if I take a break, I'm binge watching videos on like growing things, yeah, exactly. Like watching courses. Exactly. I don't realize, like, is it a break or is it like, I don't know where the line is.
Exactly.
What other advices you have for people who wants to start something out and they like if they want to escape their 9-to-5 or they start their side hustle or launch a business or learn a new skill or figure something else out? So what is your advice to the people who wants to do that?
I think my advice is to just start. Yeah, don't wait. Don't wait for the right time. Don't make up excuses that, hey, I'll do it when I buy this, when I'll do this next weekend, I'll do this then. Don't, just start. If there is an idea in your head, take action. Take action on day one and make a list of things you want to do on next day. Every day before closing, make a to-do list for yourself before you wrap up. And that to-do list then drives you to do something on the next day. Start now. Because, you know, a lot of us are super like obsessed with perfectionism. And that's why we don't start. We're like, it needs to be perfect. It needs to be the right thing. It needs to just be the absolute best if it's coming from me. And that, I think, is the biggest sort of thing that stops a lot of people from starting out. You know,
I think it's kind of an excuse, like, yeah, people used to tell them that no
idea, and then ends up becoming an excuse that, oh, I will do it, but I don't have the right camera, or I will do it, but I don't have the right mic to start upon. You don't need any of that. Start with whatever you can. And for me, what really helped was, you know, when I was starting my YouTube channel, I've mentioned this in a lot of my interviews, but what I always did was, you know, I used to look at all of these successful creators and I used to scroll back down and look at their first videos, and everyone's first video was not good. Like, nobody's first video is good. And I was like, if they are comfortable having that on their, if they were comfortable starting at that point, there's no reason why it should stop me. Like, if you have a laptop that has a webcam, you can create a video. Like, that's it. That's all you need. Or if you have a phone with a front camera, you can create a video. It really doesn't, you don't need heavy equipment. You don't need any of that. So my advice is to really start, because only when you start, will you figure out, oh, ye bhi karna. Oh, this is also there. And I have to take care of this. So then you start researching, then you start finding help everywhere on the internet. You know, today, no matter what you want to do, Google has answers. And I'm not even kidding. Like, I have been a student all my life. And even today, I learn a lot of new things every day. And I really learn them by just Googling. Google really has the answers. You know, you just go on Pinterest and type something, so many blogs will come up with people really explaining the absolute basics of things like that. Pinterest is a very underrated platform for learning. People use it for inspiration. It's such a good platform for learning. So I think, yeah, just like use Google and Pinterest and I think you'll be all set.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing that people like usually tend to forget, is like everybody starts at zero. And this is... like, and this is true for everybody. Like, we were talking about, like, before recording about Tim Ferriss. He told there was a point nobody was reading his blogs, right?
Yeah, he still wrote. He still made sure that he wrote, even if nobody was reading.
Exactly. And that's what it takes. I think this is the best advice. Like, just start and don't wait, right?
Yeah, yeah. Start. Just start. Don't think.
All right. This is my favorite question. I call it a 3x3 matrix.
Okay.
What are the three people...
okay.
Three habits.
Okay.
And three books. And in your case, three courses also, like, if you want, that have impacted your life the most.
Okay. So I'll start with three...
three people.
Right. So three people who've changed my life significantly. A, Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss literally changed my life. Yeah, his book 4-Hour Workweek is what I read before starting my YouTube channel, before putting down my papers and quitting my job. I think 4-Hour Workweek, I can't recommend that book enough to people. It's so life-changing, it's so inspiring that, you know, it, whatever I am today, it really has helped me. So I think Tim Ferriss is one. I know it sounds cheesy for the second person, but I honestly, truly think that, you know, my mom has helped me change my life a lot. Because she was always this, you know, super hardworking person. And life was not super easy for her. Like, she wasn't handed things off on a platter. But she managed to do so many things. Like, I from bachpan se, I've just seen her, like, just do so many. She was a teacher in a school, and then she built this, you know, she was always very interested in helping kids learn better. So she started this small tuition center, and I saw that tuition center grow to a point where, you know, she literally had to just tell people, I don't have space to accommodate more people. I can't. And I saw her work super hard every day without fail. Like, she used to work so hard. So I think, you know, my mom, from just the way she has designed her life and the way she lived, I think she's like super motivational for me. And I think third person who's also really changed my life, and this is actually very recent, is I wouldn't say this person has changed my life, but this person I think is going to be a very inspirational in the next rung of my life that I'm going to have. And that's Marie Forleo. I think she's very I think she's very interesting with the way she has built her business, and she's very interesting person in the sense, you know, the way she has just started from a point where online courses were not a thing. She had her online course in 2010. That's when she launched. Imagine that. No, internet, like, videos used to not load back then properly. And she had her online course that she launched. And today, her online course is one of the best in the world. And I've not personally been a student of that course because...
B-School, right?
Yeah, B-School. I've not done B-School personally. But I love how she markets it. You know, every single year when it launches, I'm almost on the brink. Should I buy it or not? Like, she really tips me into buying it. So I think Marie Forleo, for the way she is and the kind of stuff she does, I think she's amazing. So she hasn't impacted my life in a big way as the other two, but she is super inspirational to me. I look up to her and I really want to be like her. So I think that way she's super motivated.
And I really like her philosophy of everything is figure outable.
Chill. Like, she's just so funny and like very casual.
She's so herself. Like, on the camera, she's so herself. Exactly. Like, she don't pretend to be anything else, and it's the best part.
Exactly. So I absolutely love her. So I think Marie Forleo would be the third person. The next thing is 3 habits, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the first habit is the fact that, you know, I don't know if I should call it a habit, but what I mentioned, that I really ingrained this habit in me that, you know, I really can learn anything from scratch. That is, it's huge. Like, it sounds like not a big thing, but that one habit has helped me so much in my life that today, because I start all these businesses, of course, I didn't go to a B-school. I don't have an MBA degree, or I don't have any background in like coding, or, and I'm not an engineer. I never did any of that. But I was able to launch everything, and I've been able to do everything because I figured things out. So, you know, like, again, it comes down to back to Marie Forleo, her book, Everything's Figure Outable. I think that's so cool. The way the title of that book, I feel like that's also one of the reasons why I strongly resonate with her. So I truly believe everything's figure outable. So that's one habit. The second habit that has also helped me a lot is, you know, that I am relentless. I think I'm very relentless in the sense, if I don't figure something out, I will not stop. I will just not stop. I get into that zone that if I don't know how to do something, I will ensure that I relentlessly work hard towards it. So I think, and I don't stop till I have my answer. So that's another thing. And I think the third habit that I strongly want to focus on here is, you know, the habit that I also briefly spoke about a little while back. Just the idea of, you know, habit of taking guilt-free breaks. I think it's huge.
Yes.
It's huge, and it really helps people, especially no matter who you are, what, even if you are a corporate person, you know, your life is still super hectic. There are so many things you do. There are so many things you deal with. Maybe your work is not exciting. Maybe your boss is not the best person in the world. Maybe you are dealing with a toxic colleague. Maybe there are things that we deal with when we go to an office. So there's, apart from the work that you do, there are also so many other dynamics that come into play. And if a person really wants to, you know, rejuvenate themselves, ourselves. I think taking guilt-free breaks is so underrated, and it's so, I think it's very important that, you know, most more people should get into the habit of doing that. So these are my books. And the last
three books or courses.
I think courses I've already mentioned too. I will mention, I think I'll speak about the 4-hour work week, like I've mentioned. Of course, that has
to, I knew this was coming.
Yeah. This has to be on the top of my list. I think that's one book. The second book also I've sort of mentioned in the course of this is The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. I think that was my introduction to minimalism. So I think that's another book that has really, really, really changed my life. And I think the third book would be Essentialism. I think, Essentialism.
I recently read it.
Yes. Oh, it's amazing. It's so beautifully written. And that's such a nice take on minimalism also, right? It's such a take on minimalism. It's still, in a sense, just that. So I think Essentialism is also a book that I strongly recommend people to figure out and read. I think, so these are the three books.
And have you read Tools of Titans?
No, I haven't, but it's on my list. I have heard it from many people.
It's beyond crazy. I'm not even kidding. Like, you can, I kind of get a sense, like, you are so much into personal development and growing yourself, growing your business and helping your community grow, right?
Right.
And this is, like, now, if I have to recommend one book to anyone, including myself, this is the book. Like, this is the godfather of book. And when you will read it, you will realize it. It's crazy. Like, beyond crazy. I'm not even kidding.
I'm definitely going to read it. I've heard it. I think you're like the fourth or fifth person telling me to read it.
The next time I will interview you, this will be like on your number one list. Like, this is absolutely. Like, go read Tools.
I hope that's
awesome. Saloni, like, my final question. How do you define success and failures?
How do I define success is, for me personally, I think the definition of success is freedom. If I have the freedom to do things my way, and if I have freedom to do things in a way that really makes me happy, I think that's how I define success. And I think, how do I define freedom? There are three aspects to it. Personally, for me, freedom, I truly feel that I'm successful and I'm free when I have the freedom of time, which means I can work according to my schedule, when I can work according to whenever I want to. Like, I'm not restricted to a set schedule, when I'm not restricted to a time zone, a timeline. I think that's one kind of freedom. Second kind of freedom is the freedom of location, where I don't need to be present in a particular place to make things happen or to make reality happen or get results and, you know, things like that. So I think if I am sitting in, let's say, some other country, and if my business still runs on autopilot, I think that's the best kind of freedom to have. And the third kind of freedom for me personally is financial freedom, which can help me live, make the first two kinds of freedom a reality. If, you know, if I have the right kind of money to travel and to do things. So I think if three things come together, time, location, and financial freedom, if I have all three, I think I would be the most successful person in the world the day I achieve all three. So that's success for me. I think failure is very tricky to define, because I don't know how to really define failure. But I think for me personally, I just think of failure as something that's super temporary. Like, it's just a very temporary thing. So I don't even want to give it enough importance by defining it really. In the sense that, you know, it's a temporary lack of results that happened because you expected to achieve something. And even if that didn't happen in the set time that you had, you know, decided to achieve it by, it's okay. You can always start afresh. You learned something on the way. So just that's my perspective. Like, I'm not very weird about it. I have failed so many times. There are these, you know, I launch these things, and for every product I launch or for everything I launch, there are 10 things I don't launch. And those 10 things, I had the same enthusiasm, but they, over time, I realized that this is a very stupid idea. I should not have worked on it. So I think, does that mean because I have a random idea every now and then on a stupid idea that would have made a terrible business because I get these ideas, am I a failure? No. Like, as long as you're smart enough to really research and figure things out and, you know, pivot and change and, you know, change directions, find the right way out, I think that's always the right way to do things.
Yes, that's so nice way to define things and look at perspective. Saloni, I'm not like, this is such an amazing conversation and I really, really enjoy your content, especially on finance. I'm into learning about finance. Awesome. And it's so amazing and it's so helpful. Like, you break it down for the Indian market from an Indian perspective, and that's the best part. And that's why I think so many people are able to connect with you. And I'm so grateful that you for this conversation and for the content you produce.
Thank you so much. And I absolutely love your podcast. Thank you so much for bringing in such diverse set of people to interview. I have just been listening to your podcast and I've been listening to all these unique stories that everyone comes with. And thank you so much for doing the kind of work that you do.
Thank you.